Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all experienced conviction in our hearts for something we've done or said which we deeply regret, haven't we? But what have we done about that conviction? Too many people blame others for their failures or excuse it away, claiming it's a problem common to many people. Still others simply ignore the conviction, but not Jacob. After leaving the place where he and his father-in-law Laban had their confrontation and came to agreement to separate, as we saw yesterday in Genesis chapter 31, Jacob continued south toward his childhood home. Soon his heart sensed a growing conviction about his deceitfulness with his father Isaac more than 20 years before, when he stole his brother Esau's firstborn inheritance and blessing, according to Genesis chapter 27. Jacob had fled from his home because Esau was planning to kill Jacob in revenge, remember? As we all know, time either aggravates a grudge or dissipates the anger. Jacob was fearful that after 20 years, Esau would be angry enough to kill Jacob and all his family. So Jacob made a plan to appease his cheated brother Esau. Genesis 32 tells us Jacob first sent some of his men ahead, searching for Esau with this message. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I'm sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. Genesis 32, verse 3 to 5. Do you hear an excuse that Jacob's been far away for a long time, thus he had no opportunity to make things right until now, and also an appeal for Esau's mercy? Those messengers soon returned to Jacob with shocking news. Esau is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. In Jacob's mind, this could only mean that Esau was intent on violent revenge. In great fear, Jacob took action. Genesis 32, verse 7 and 8 tells us, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people, flocks and herds, with him into two groups. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Jacob evidently had no idea what had transpired in his family after he left 20 years before, but he presumed Esau would be bent on retaliation and perhaps total annihilation of Jacob's entire family. Where do you turn when fear almost paralyzes you? Jacob turned to the God of his grandfather Abraham in desperate prayer, reminding God that his journey back to his homeland was at God's direction. Jacob humbly prayed, I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown to your servant, O God. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. Genesis 32, verse 9 to 12. Then Jacob gathered some of his shepherds and sent them with several hundred animals in separate groups looking for Esau. They were all a peace offering from Jacob. The shepherds were instructed to tell Esau that the animals were a gift from Jacob to Esau, and that Jacob was soon coming with his family and hoping Esau would receive him in peace. May I ask, what are you most desiring from the person who has wronged you? Gifts or an honest apology? I find it interesting that neither in his prayer for help from God nor in his generous gifts sent as a peace offering to Esau do I see any words or attitudes of remorse or repentance from Jacob. What does that tell us about Jacob's heart after he's had more than 20 years to think about what he did to Esau and his father Isaac? After the peace offerings headed down the road toward Esau, Jacob sent his wives, children, and all that remained of his possessions across the river to camp on the other side. From there, they would continue their journey south the next day. But Jacob stayed where he was for the night, alone. Why? Perhaps for a night of deep thinking as he contemplated what he would do if the roles were reversed, and if Esau had done to him what he had done to Esau years before. That night, God sent an angel to wrestle with Jacob. Perhaps it began as a conversation, a confrontational, convicting conversation. Later, it turned into a physical wrestling match, which continued through the night. Finally, as daybreak came, the man wrestling with Jacob gave him an important message from God. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Genesis 32, verse 24 to 28. The name Jacob could be understood to mean deceiver, and the name Israel means struggle with God. Certainly, Jacob had lived up to his name as he struggled to grasp that which was not his, even through deception, beginning from birth when he was grasping Esau's heel as he was born. I also believe Jacob had been struggling all through his life with God. Jacob struggled to honor God with his life and struggled to deal with idolatry and jealousy in his family. While God sent a clear message to Jacob to change his name, as we'll see throughout the rest of his life, only rarely was Jacob referred to as Israel, a sign to me of God, Jacob's ongoing struggle with submission and obedience to God. Genesis 33 is the wonderful story of a long-anticipated reunion between Esau and Jacob. Far from what Jacob expected, Esau was kind, accepting, generous, and brotherly. While I see no evidence of Jacob pouring out a great verbal confession of his terrible wrongdoing toward Esau, I also don't see any words of accusation or attack from Esau towards Jacob. What I do see, though, is this remarkable scene. Jacob bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother Esau. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around Jacob's neck and kissed him, and they wept. Genesis 33, verse 3 and 4. Is it possible words were not needed, but by either of them, and the emotions and actions are far more significant than any words? Esau was overwhelmed with all the animals and the huge family accompanying Jacob. Esau asked this simple yet profound question, "Who are all these with you?" Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." And with that, each of the women came forward with the children they had borne to Jacob and presented them respectfully, humbly, to Esau. I can imagine tears were flowing down the cheeks of both Esau and Jacob. Jacob's words seemed to reflect a change in his spirit. Do you agree? His words were truthful, humble, giving God the glory and placing himself at the mercy of his older brother, whom he had cheated so badly. Then Esau asked another fair and important question of Jacob. "What is the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in your eyes, my lord." Fearful, Jacob was bold face honest. He deserved wrath from Esau, and he knew it. But Esau was merciful. Friends, is this how you and I approach God frequently? Bold face honest, knowing that we are inherently evil, and without God we are helplessly depraved, deserving of God's wrath because of the mess we have made of the perfection God created, including humanity, made in his image. How and how often do we thank Jesus for paying our sin debt price with God? The reunion of Esau and Jacob was nothing Jacob could have possibly imagined. Similarly, may I suggest the arrival in heaven when redeemed people depart earth after completing their life here will be a great forgiveness celebration for God's people. We who have repented of our sin and been forgiven by God because he has accepted Jesus' atonement death as payment in full for our sin, we will be welcomed as family, sons and daughters of the Almighty God, with great fanfare and great celebration. Are you confident that celebration awaits you, my friends? With Jesus as your Savior, there should be no doubt